WCCO, Minneapolis, St. Paul at 8:30. The time now is 7 o'clock.
East Germans continue to pour across the Berlin Wall for visits to the West. Celebrating continues in Berlin to mark East Germany's opening of the border. President Bush is cautious about the changes in Eastern Europe. Good morning, I'm Mike Pulsifer, and this is the CBS World News Roundup. And the wall comes tumbling down. The Berlin Wall, for practical purposes, is down. Residents of East Germany can now pass freely to the West. And newsman Jesse Schulman in West Berlin reports they are by the thousands.
Two new crossing points have been opened. One, the bridge, which for decades was the scene of spy swaps and discreet diplomatic comings and goings, a tense point of Cold War contact between East and West. The second is at what was until today one of the many quiet, almost forgotten bends in the wall. Border guards used jackhammers and a crane to tear a hole in the wall at a place called Bernauerstrasse. People are already streaming across the new checkpoint. So heavy is the flow of foot and car traffic that at many checkpoints, border guards are not even checking the travel documents of visitors as they stream through. By a quirk of geography, some subway lines from one part of West Berlin to another pass under East Berlin. For decades, the trains have rolled through abandoned, sealed stations on the eastern side of the city. At those once ghostly stations, the lights are now on in preparation for their reopening. Bus service between the two halves of the city is also expected to be restored. Diplomats and politicians are now moving into top gear to work out the city's future. Technically, Berlin is still under occupation by the U.S. and the other wartime victors over Nazi Germany. The rules and treaties that have regulated life along the wall seem little more now than scraps of paper. A party atmosphere has the city in its grip. Sometimes the best of parties gets out of hand. There were scuffles along the wall when a group of young Berliners tried to break through a crossing point of their own. That has now been closed. This morning, correspondent Dan Revive talked to travelers at the Invalidenstrasse crossing point.
East Germans are pouring across, visiting their West German friends and relatives. Here in Berlin especially, on a sunny, if cold day, people are happy as they walk across.
I go shopping to see uncles and so on. Looking.
You just crossed to the West. You're walking on this street the first time.
We're walking in the first time, and then we go.
You'll be going back home later.
Yes.
Many of them are stressing what that lady did, that it's just a brief visit. They've come to see Berlin for the day or for the weekend. On Monday, they plan to be back at work, back at school in East Germany. Dan Revive, CBS News, West Berlin.
East Germany's news agency says leader Egon Krenz and West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl talked on the telephone today. The news account says the two discussed travel, increased economic interaction, and what it termed further questions of practical cooperation. President Bush welcomes the changes in Eastern Europe, but is moving carefully in reacting to them. Wyatt Andrews has more from Dallas.
The president will spend this Veterans Day dedicating a Vietnam War monument in Dallas while focusing on the unpredictable state of change in Eastern Europe. Yesterday, Mr. Bush spent almost 20 minutes on the telephone with West German Chancellor Helmut Kohl, offering what the White House said was America's cooperation in reacting to the new openness along the border between the two Germanies. Despite the president's admission that he had been moved by the sight of East Germans celebrating on the wall, U.S. policy toward the change is low-key. The president has taken a cautious approach so that the Soviets and East Bloc countries can perceive no threat to their security interests, and so that West Germany in particular can take the lead in sending signals to the East. The great fears among the Allies is that the flow of refugees could become too great for West Germany to handle, or so embarrassing to the East Germans that they might move to reverse the baby steps they've taken toward a freer society. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Dallas.
4 minutes after the hour.
46 degrees.
Analysts say it appears the change in leadership in Bulgaria is a sign that that country, too, will join the reform movement sweeping the communist world, although probably not to as great a degree as East Germany, Poland, and Hungary. 78-year-old Todor Zhivkov relinquished his posts as president and Communist Party chairman in Bulgaria. He'd been in power 35 years, longer than any other East European leader. Newswoman Denise Searle in Sofia says the mood in the capital is one of celebration.
We've had people around the shops in a real holiday mood. The shops are being cleared of the expensive wines that people normally don't touch, and they're buying them by the armful, and the chocolates are going. And it's really a celebration rally, and that's really something new. They haven't had anything to celebrate before.
Taking over from Zhivkov is 53-year-old Petar Mladenov, considered a moderate. He served as foreign minister for the past 18 years. Chinese officials are not letting their people know much about the dramatic change in other communist countries. John Sheehan reports from Beijing.
The Chinese are among the least informed people in the world about events in Germany. The East German upheaval against the communist system is not the kind of news China's leaders want the masses to hear. Foreign shortwave broadcasts are being jammed. Chinese news organizations, all run by the state, have either ignored the story or distorted it. Since the torrent of criticism from the West that followed the Tiananmen massacre last June, the rulers of China have again redefined the world as an all-out conflict between communism and capitalism. The United States, formerly a friend, is now an adversary accused of trying to subvert China with money and Western notions of democracy. Today's official Guangming Daily ignored the tens of thousands of East Germans streaming westward and ran a story about one man who returned to East Germany, saying that he had found life in the West hard and unattractive. John Sheehan, CBS News, Beijing.
7 minutes after the hour. Authorities in Pontiac, Michigan report a woman walking her dog has found the bodies of kidnapped General Motors executive Glenn Tarr and his wife Wanda. More from Gary Baumgarten of CBS radio station WWJ Detroit.
Police theorize they were abducted from their suburban Detroit home, killed elsewhere, then dumped in the park in plain view. FBI Special Agent Hal Helterhoff.
We don't know if they interrupted a robbery or if the subjects just came and broke in, or we have not firmed up yet whether the lady had left the home and maybe was abducted and brought back to the house. We do not have that fine-tuned yet.
Police say the house was ransacked and that $500 was withdrawn from the Tower's bank account using an automatic teller machine. Still missing are the couple's two cars, a 1989 Geo Prism and a 1988 Chevy Cavalier, absolutely vital, police say, in their investigation. About 35 FBI agents and a like number of local police officers are involved in the investigation. Gary Baumgarten for CBS News, Detroit.
A second death is reported as a result of a Navy jet crashing into a Georgia apartment house. Authorities say a 28-year-old woman who was severely burned in the incident has died. The accident happened Thursday in Smyrna, an Atlanta suburb. Defense Secretary Dick Cheney says the subject of U.S. bases in the Philippines came up when he met with Philippine President Corazon Aquino. But he also says Aquino did not offer any commitments concerning renewal of the base's leases, saying she wants to wait for the start of official negotiations next month. Lech Wałęsa, the leader of Poland's Solidarity Party, is spending his weekend in Toronto. He'll be heading for Washington next week. Wałęsa is trying to get U.S. and Canadian officials to provide more financial help to Poland. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 after the hour. Back now to the amazing story of change in East Germany and its impact on one of that country's top diplomats. Rob Armstrong reports from Washington.
This week's events in East Germany have been both historic in scope and deeply emotional for people with German roots around the world. Gerhard Herder is East Germany's ambassador to the United States. He was a young man in Berlin when the wall went up.
Having my apartment only about 100 yards away from the border, I had mixed feelings. And I would have wanted this wall never to have been erected. But at that time, there was no other way.
For nearly three decades, the wall stood as a symbol, Ambassador Herder's perspective.
The wall played its historic role. It's like with a surgery. You are getting a scar. You don't like the scar. But you have to accept it because it saves your soul and your body.
We should have no illusions, he said. The wall will disappear, but the borders and the two Germanies will remain. Rob Armstrong, CBS News, Washington.
Negotiators for the Nicaraguan government and the Contra rebels report making progress in a second day of talks at the United Nations. Contra leader Enrique Bermudez says his side is offering a specific proposal.
We propose an immediate ceasefire with the participation of the United Nations, ONUCA, the General Secretary of the OAS, and Cardinal Obando.
The Nicaraguan Catholic Church official who has acted as a Sandinista Contra mediator in the past. The talks are to resume Monday at the Washington offices of the Organization of American States. The weekend is off to a bad start in gang-infested areas of Los Angeles. Police there say one person is dead, at least nine others hurt in three separate gang-related incidents. 13 after the hour. Old habits may die hard, but if you're going to be calling anyone in the Chicago suburbs, you're going to have to reprogram your memory, or your auto dialer. The Chicago metropolitan region has gotten too big for its old 312 area code. Today, the suburbs are going to a new prefix, 708. More on the numbers from Carol Ramos of CBS station WBBM.
Calls from the city to the suburbs and from the suburbs to the city will require dialing in area code 708 for the suburbs, 312 for metropolitan Chicago. The reason for the change, Illinois Bell spokesman Dick Hill says it's growth.
What we're doing is adding a new area code to take care of the growth in the Chicago metropolitan area. This will increase the available supply of numbers by about 6 million. And it will give us a chance to keep up with the growth in the metropolitan area.
Even though it will seem as if the calls between city and suburbs are long distance, Bell officials stress there will not be any additional charge for the calls, just some additional numbers. Carol Ramos for CBS News, Chicago.
Florida is the latest state to have a stay-away campaign. It's being organized by some environmentalists who say there already are too many people in the state. The group has put out a calendar which notes, among other things, that North Florida has six species of poisonous snakes. It also reports the state is infested with bugs and leads the nation in lightning-caused injuries and deaths. The calendar lists a different dismal fact about Florida on each of its 365 pages. The environmentalists not only suggest people considering a move to Florida change their minds, they say people who already live there ought to leave. That's the CBS World News Roundup this Saturday. I'm Mike Pulsifer, CBS News. I'm Mike Pulsifer, CBS News. Now here's meteorologist Bill Enderson in the CCO Weather Center with today's forecast.
Good morning. In the Twin Cities, yesterday's high was 47. That occurred right at midnight thanks to rising temperatures that we had during the nighttime hours. We've had some light rain in the Twin Cities, and right now light rain is falling between the southern suburbs and Rochester and La Crosse. For our Twin Cities, a few scattered sprinkles remaining this morning, mainly on the south side. High temperatures today will be in the upper 40s. Those will occur during the morning hours. Then we'll have variable cloudiness and a rather windy day with slowly falling temperatures for the rest of the day, down into the 30s by this evening. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows about 33, and those winds will diminish tonight. Tomorrow, the next Alberta Clipper comes our way. Should be a mostly cloudy day with just a chance of some rain, and it should become windy in the afternoon as the wind comes up from the southeast. Highs tomorrow about 48. The winds today, northwest 15 to 30 miles per hour, and then diminishing this evening. Right now, cloudy skies, wind northwest at 13 miles per hour, 63% humidity, and our temperatures 46.
Mark Rosen, we're going to be playing Agassi and Lendl. I think Agassi needs your height.
What about Lendl? I think you could use a little help with Lendl.
Well, I could use a lot of help. This is the Dracar Noir Tennis Challenge. Get your tickets for Saturday, November 25th at the Met Center.
That's right, Charlie. They can get them from any Ticketmaster location or by calling 989-5151.
You know, Mark, I think you're right. I think Lendl ought to be my partner. I'll need his height at the net to counter yours.
You know all the teenagers love Agassi. He's going to be on my side. Okay. Let's see, does that make it age versus beauty?
Yeah, think about that.
All right. 46 degrees in Minneapolis, St. Paul, 17 and a half minutes after 7 on this Saturday morning news hour on CCO Radio. Let's continue with the latest in regional news, and here's Judy Hutterer.
The opening of the Berlin Wall has excited many people, not the least of whom is Senator Rudy Boschwitz, who was born in East Berlin. Boschwitz left Berlin with his family when he was 2 years old. He said his father, who was a judge, came home the day Hitler took power and said the family would leave. A few months later, Boschwitz, his parents, and three siblings began making their way to New York. The senator says he's very excited by events in Eastern Europe.
You have no expression for them. You can't be surprised anymore. The falling apart of the Russian Empire, the falling apart of communism is occurring so rapidly that it almost is beyond belief.
Boschwitz says he believes a reunified Germany would be more of a threat economically than politically. The former chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff says East Germany does not appear to be in control of its own destiny, and he hopes there is not a crackdown. General John Vesey Jr., speaking from his retirement home in Garrison, Minnesota, says the opening of East Germany's borders to the West calls for caution and alertness. Vesey says the opening came sooner than he had expected. Today is Veterans Day, a holiday. There will be no home delivery of mail. Parking meters generally are not being enforced in Minneapolis and St. Paul, but check to make sure. Most retail stores are open as usual, so are most Saturday drive-up bank windows. Bus service is on a normal Saturday schedule in the Twin Cities. WCCO Radio News time is 7:19. It's 46 degrees.